different websites involving startup pro wrestling discussion webcasts and so-called insiders who demand money for the truth have in the past and continue to malign WrestleTalk Radio and the Wild Talk Radio Network. This has, quite frankly, put the spotlight on WTR and has resulted in some negative and inaccurate attacks on our website. So, we're reaching out to you, the WTR Galaxy, our fans, to provide the real facts about WTR. And we ask you to join us in responding to these malicious attacks against WTR and you, our listeners, by those who have never been closer to the business than perhaps a ringside seat or the ordering of a pay-per-view. We have initiated a campaign called Stand Up for WTR. We'll be talking regularly how WTR has led the way and been the forerunner for all the ways internet webcasting is enjoyed in its current form today, to set the record straight. We ask you to utilize YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, as well as the WTR newsletter to help correct bias and inaccurate reports by the dopey ones who actually steal the ideas of WTR and pass it off as their own, and to get the message out and show your support for WTR by sending into admin@wildtalkradio.com photos and videos of you and your friends with a WTR sign written on anything, even your girlfriend's body. We encourage you to become a fan of WTR on Facebook and Twitter and share your stories, no matter how sick and disgusting. Let's show the world the power of Wild Talk Radio. Let's stand up for WTR. Thank you.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And
anything. It's still real to me, damn it.
With your host.
Are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
That
boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Walter the Raven. Keep my short.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done watching WWE bragging rights, and the question on everyone's mind, did they do anything worth bragging about? We are going to answer that question tonight. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way along with my cohorts, starting with Mace.
Hey, Omega. You want to go?
I know what you're talking about. I just got my ass kicked, so I'm going to wander off.
Nice.
We also have Spug.
Fuck the thing.
Random attacks. Fine. We have with us Alan Wojcik.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on again.
No, you got to do something. And of
After
course.
After watching that show, yeah.
And of course, up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Holy fuck, we're getting a full room tonight. I don't know why the hell people aren't coming into the chat room, but they sure are tuning in. People, make your way to the chat. That way, you can get, like, really, really involved because we are hyper interactive with you, the listeners. Isn't that right, Omega?
Who? What? I wasn't paying attention.
God damn it. Well, fine. Get into the chat room, okay? All you got to do is type in www.wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. And you'll be here with all of us to have fun. Yeah?
Don't ever do that again.
All right.
What the crap was that?
That was a random different voice. That's all I can tell you that what that was.
And I feel like doing it,
so I'm going to do it whenever I want. So shut your fucking pie hole.
Shut up.
See, I'm just talking right over you and ignoring you completely because you promised to fuck up the show tonight, and I'm not going to let it happen. By the way,
you're going to do it for him.
If you want to, see, I'm just not stopping here. If you want to call in and get interactive, you can do it toll free. We'll pick up the dime. It won't cost a goddamn thing. Just pick up the phone, hit the digits, 877-588-9877. Tonight's option number 3, or Skype to Skype. Just Skype Sir Rock and we'll bring you on to the show. Talk about the pay-per-view, have a whole bunch of fun. First and foremost, let's just take a look at the extended version of Raw, Omega.
Oh, you mean that pay-per-view people actually had to pay to see?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Was there anything good about it? Did it have any merits at all?
It ended 15 minutes early.
Well, doesn't it normally end 15 minutes early when it's a WWE paper?
I'm counting it. I'm looking for whatever I can get.
Okay. Sorry.
It started off pay-per-view quality. I'll give it that.
We were talking about that about halfway through that first match tonight, weren't we, Mace?
Yeah, the first match was good, but, yeah, it sort of went traditional WWE meh area. But positive. Omega's commentary was funny.
Omega's commentary was extremely funny. Definitely, the kid was in rare form tonight, and I have to admit that he deserves kudos, definitely. Spud, did you watch the entire pay-per-view, or were you busy playing World of Warcraft or whatever?
I was busy reading.
Reading?
What?
Hold it. You were what?
Do I have to spell it out for you, Tim? I was busy raiding.
All right.
It's
got
been nice to Spud to use his real voice on the air for once.
Yeah, he's just got to quit making fun of the naked deaf guy from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Just saying. Alan, initial thoughts and viewpoints.
Great opening match. The rest of it, I would rather have been forced to watch reruns of 30-something than watch this pay-per-view.
Oh, hey, Alan, reaching back to the early 90s with that one.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a reference.
My God. Yeah. Geez, you know, not a hell of a lot of people would have picked up that reference. Okay.
And the worst part, Tim, and the rest of you guys, is that on paper, this pay-per-view wasn't anything spectacular either, and it proved to be exactly that for once.
But what
wasn't a big letdown. I didn't come walking in here going, wow, this pay-per-view's going to kick major ass. I walked in going, this is 3 hours of my life I may never get back.
So why don't you just expand on exactly what you're talking about there, Alan? You basically came in to the pay-per-view tonight expecting the worst and you weren't disappointed?
Yeah, because you have a 7-on-7 match. The month before, you're going to have, traditionally, a bunch of 7 or 5-on-5 matches called Survivor Series.
Uh-huh.
So the only match that I enjoyed, and I know you're going to run through all of them, surprisingly, I enjoyed Dolph Ziggler, Nikki Nemeth versus Bryan Danielson. I was very surprised the chemistry that they had, and I hope WWE doesn't look at this match and go, God, they worked great together. Let's never let this crap happen again.
There you go.
And other than that, dude, ask everybody else, take titles home, talk to your fans. Because it's your show, I'm just a visitor.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Mace, what was the biggest surprise of tonight's pay-per-view for you, in your opinion?
That they didn't put the title on Wade Barrett.
Really?
Because after the fact that they've gone and done every illogical decision in the last few months, I was quite certain that they were going to do the stupidest thing ever and put it on Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
That and the other shocking thing is, oh my god, a Shockmaster reference.
Oh, yeah.
They compared Way Cool to the Shockmaster. Now, that's an insult to the Shockmaster, I tell you that.
Yeah, poor Fred Ottman sitting there going, somebody, where's my royalties, damn it?
Yeah, yeah, it's really hard to be positive and not criticize and sound like when you get a pay-per-view like this, right, Omega?
Yeah. By the way, I don't think you can claim royalties on the Shockmaster since he's ripping off the Stormtrooper helmet.
Well, yeah, you know, they put silver glitter on it, something like that.
Yeah, kind of like the Divas Championship.
Yeah. Alan, what was with all the NHL references tonight? What, just because they were in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think either that or Strikers. I don't know if Strikers a hockey fan or not, but the best line was when they were running around with the Bragging Rights Cup, because that's the closest a cup will ever get to Minnesota. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Thanks. Shout out to the Minnesota Wild while you're there, Matt.
Yeah, go ahead, say it.
Well, I will say Stryker had better commentary than usual tonight. He had several good lines that I liked.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you on this one, but when you put Michael Cole next to Stryker, Stryker's going to look like gold.
Anyone next to Cole is going to sound like gold.
Well, that was going to be my next one.
I'd rather have... JR can have four more belty attacks, and I'd still listen to him more than I listen to Cole.
You could have put the Zamboni driver for the building sitting next to Cole. Oh, I don't know, it would have sounded better.
Hey, what are you doing ragging on a Zamboni driver? Just because he drives a little truck over a sheet of frozen water is no reason to think that they're not smart yet.
Hey, four people I went to high school with, that was actually their lifelong ambition. They wanted to drive the Zamboni. Two of them wanted to do it in Madison Square Garden. One wanted to do it in Maple Leaf Garden, and the other wanted to do it at the Montreal Forum. So I can't rag on it.
Your aspiration in life is to get laid.
You know,
different people.
Different era.
Guess so.
I'm kind of surprised, Mace, that you didn't point out that the fact that we found out Perry Saturn's still alive wasn't the biggest surprise coming out of tonight's pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was after the show had finished. I was going on what was happening during the show.
Oh, okay. Well, there you are. Yeah, in case you missed it, everybody, Perry Saturn alive, and we're assuming, well, he was backstage tonight at the pay-per-view. And, boy, what a time for Perry Saturn to come back.
But it was nice just to know he's still around and is actually willing to show up. It's been so long. I mean, the last we heard of him, he got shot trying to save a girl who was trying to attempt to rape her.
Oh my god.
And, yeah, Perry Saturn came to the rescue, got shot in the neck, I believe.
He was shot in the neck, but is the word rape no longer politically correct? Aren't you supposed to say sexually assaulted?
I'm not going to sugarcoat what it was. It was a horrible thing, and he's a hero for stopping it.
Well, including you guys politically correct him.
Thanks for pointing out the obvious, Captain Obvious.
Thank you. I'll just take my paycheck and go.
But political correctness is the biggest crap since Vince Russo was Booker.
Let's sugarcoat as much as possible. She's an unwilling sperm recipient.
Ooh, yeah. Thank you, George Carlin.
Yeah,
I love that reference.
Yeah, that was borderline, Omega. Very borderline. But definitely, yeah, George Carlin. We're going to hear more about him on this network coming up in in about a month and a half, I think, the schedule calls for it. I'm just going
to... The best question to ask to everybody that's listening, that's in your chat room and anything, did anybody actually watch this show and at the end go, wow, I really enjoyed spending my almost $50 to watch what everybody feels on this network so far is? a blown-up version of Raw and SmackDown put together. Was there anything spectacular other than Bryan Danielson and Nick Nemeth?
Now, for those of you who aren't quite with it, and there's one or two in the chat room, we're not going to point you out to anybody, so don't worry, your anonymity is safe. Alan, those three people don't know who Nick Nemeth really is.
Oh, sorry. Nick Nemeth is really the guy known as Dolph Ziggler, and last I heard was dating one of the Bella Twins, but hey, what do you want? It's weird to hear them refer to him having an amateur background, because he does. That's not a work. He really did wrestle with Kent State, and he really can go when he wants to go, and that's why when him and Danielson hooked it up to go back to that, that was just really cool to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about Nick Nemeth dating one of the Bella Twins. How's Vicky going to feel when she finds that out?
Oh, dear God, you're really going to go with the storyline crap? I kept waiting for the Undertaker of the 1994 Royal Rumble to go out from underneath the buried alive thing. Like, come on.
Meanwhile, we're all sitting here wondering if Spud was able to see Spot Run.
Ooh.
Well, he said he was reading.
Rating, you fucking idiot. Rating.
Well, you see, this is what happens when you don't enunciate correctly. Oh, there's lights for that.
I legitimately hate you.
I heard the wife in the background. Is she yelling at you?
Well, that could be Ellen.
Oh, Ellen, was that your wife in the background?
No, they're watching the late CSI Miami thanks to the NFL running over.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, yeah, there it is. So here it is in a nutshell, the pay-per-view. We can talk about the entire thing afterwards. Dolph versus Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson wins. Cody and Drew McIntyre versus John Cena and David Otunga. I want to come back to this one afterwards. We've got new WWE Tag Team Champions, John Cena with David Otunga. And then a throw-in last-minute announced match, Ted DiBiase versus Goldust, with DiBiase winning, but Goldust getting his revenge at the end. And then Lay Cool versus Natalya for the Diva title. And, of course, Layla gets the pin thanks to Michelle McCool's boot. And then the Buried Alive match, Kane versus his brother Undertaker, with Taker about to win. Nexus comes out and interferes. You know, Kane hits Taker with the urn. Taker goes into the grave. Kane wins. There's that little, music happening with the video and the shit on top of the tombstone.
I'd be back on Taz.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Bragging Rights elimination match. SmackDown wins Bragging Rights a second year in a row. We got the WWE Championship, Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett with John Cena. Stipulation, Barrett says, if he loses, Cena's fired. So what happens? Cena AAs Barrett. Barrett wins via DQ. However, Randy Orton retains the belt. Now, how many of you, put your hands up, are with me when you say you're sick and freaking tired of watching NW Nexus interfering in whatever match they feel like running into?
It's normally not that bad. They usually only storm in on matches where someone in Nexus is already involved. But today we got an unannounced tag match where Nexus jumped in. They jumped in the Taker match, and then they jumped in again during the main event. One time is fine. Three times in one night is way overkill.
Yeah, well, you know exactly what's going to happen on SmackDown Friday night, right? What's his name? Percy Pringle is going to come out and say, yeah, somebody to deal with Nexus to come out and help Kane if he needed it. Oh. Of course, he doesn't talk in the falsetto voice anymore, but still, you know that's what's going to happen. Yes, I know it was a bad imitation. Don't give me that. But still. I didn't try.
Okay. No one can do a good impression on this network.
You see, I'm just mailing it in like WWE did tonight. See how that What's the matter, Omega? Was it a little bit too pointed?
Yeah, my side is bleeding. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, King of Leader Jokes.
God, don't give me that title.
Too late. You actually basically inherited it about 3 years ago. You do realize this, right?
Yeah. Thankfully, that's the only thing that I inherited from Lita.
Yeah, by the way, I was waiting for that one. Believe it or not, it was a spontaneous setup. We didn't plan it. So, I don't know. Watching this whole thing, the only thing that kind of like gave me any kind of a wow factor, and not a good wow factor, was the Tag Team Championship match. What are they doing giving Cena and Otunga the tag titles when the main storyline is Cena is sucked into Nexus and doesn't want to be? Mace?
I'm sorry, you're trying to ask me to look for logic in wrestling these days? It doesn't fucking exist.
Yeah, well, you got a point there. Unless it's, of course, a really well-booked indie event, I think. We're not seeing it in any of the major promotions.
Not at all. They seem to have all thrown logic out the window at this point in time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it's making me wonder why I'm still watching.
There are times when you think that it's just more out of habit than the enjoyment aspect.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Now, here we are. We're basically saying less than positive, glowing things about tonight's pay-per-view. Yet, at the same time, we're also saying, you know, don't overly criticize, don't be a smart mark, watch the stuff, and just, you know, be a fan. I don't want us to sound hypocritical. So let's find something good about the pay-per-view. Come on, Omega, you can do it.
Trying. Give me a minute. Honestly, I think, yeah, and Rock's got it in the chat. The opening match is hands down the best part about this entire pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, okay, I want taking nothing away from this match, because on any level, under any circumstances, this was a great match. But
yeah.
I want everyone out there to understand, a member of the Spirit Squad had the best match of the night. That's saying something.
The bloody Spirit Squad. You know, I do everything I can to not remember them. And it seems like just as I'm about to get out, they pull me back in.
You have to remember the bad so it is not repeated. It's a lesson.
Well, the most disappointing aspect of the opening match for me was the fact that the girls didn't come out and dance with Daniel Bryan after surgery. That was the most disappointing thing about the opening match. It was very good, and Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler, I think, is starting to look better and better all the time. And of course, what can you say about Bryan Danielson, aka Daniel Bryan, Mace?
What can you say about him? He actually remembers what the second W in the company name stands for.
Don't say that too loud, dude. They're listening.
Yeah, like Rock would say, whisper it.
I'm sorry, it's supposed to be World Wrestling Entertainment. They forget the entertainment part quite often, but they seem to have completely forgotten about the wrestling part until recently with their first match on the last two pay-per-views. And surprise, surprise, who's been in the first match? Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
what a surprise.
There you go. Alan, views.
I want Lay Cool to get put in a time capsule and sent somewhere else in the world because they suck.
Thanks for talking about the opening match, but keep going.
Oh, the opening match. Oh, you said views. I thought you meant the whole pay-per-view, but after the opening match, I really lost interest in this pay-per-view. And that says a lot, because I'm usually the one that can't shut up during the pay-per-view talking about, wow, great match, another great match, another great match. Sat there looking at the, once we got later on in the show, I was like, wow, three matches and we're done? Cool.
Well, what?
Instead, if this is if this was a test balloon to see what these two would look like if they do the unification of the world titles and the unification of the IC and the US belt, this match will kick ass at WrestleMania in Atlanta. This will steal the show.
That's exactly what's happening. All the titles are being unified, and they're getting rid of the quote-unquote secondary titles. But wasn't it you and I in a separate chat window halfway through the pay-per-view started talking to each other about hockey?
Yeah, we were talking during the DiBiase Goldust match about everything else. This match is going so good, and then my daughter came in, and she's sitting watching the show with me, and she's going, "Hey, look, it's Teddy." I said, "Yeah, it's Teddy. What's with the doofus in the pink up?" And I said, "Exactly."
There you go. Yeah.
And so, she wasn't talking about the girls at ringside.
Go ahead, Mace.
That was another match completely devoid of logic. I believe it was Rock who brought it up in our chat during the match. This match didn't need to happen. All you needed was one of the girls, you need Maurice to just turn around, clock Oksana in the face and take the belt, and that's match over.
Yeah, but they needed to have a time filler, and that's exactly why this thing was booked, especially at the last second. Like, let's face it, I don't want to say what the fuck, but what the hell?
You're a dead.
Oh, to be fair, the match actually did have a lot more build-up and storyline behind it than, other matches on the card.
Other than let's take the belts off the world champs for no reason other than, hey, Nexus isn't involved in enough storyline.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Nexus is not involved in enough storylines. This brings us to the fact that we're stuck with Cena as an unwilling participant in the Nexus for some time to come, don't you think? Especially since they gave the straps to Cena and Otunga. Mace?
Yeah, but we'll probably see Barrett take the belt off Cena and put it on, what's his face, the red-headed thing?
Wendy
Slater.
Wendy Slater.
Yeah, Wendy.
Gingers aren't good enough to win title belts in the WWE themselves, so they got to take them off Cena.
Ooh, harsh. I just, as a bit of a personal aside, things are talking about tag team matches, I wish they would let the tag team division come back and quit throwing these two people together just to take belts and wins off a legitimate tag team. And no, I'm not saying boo-hoo, the Hart Dynasty had to drop the belts. That's, sure, an example, but, it could have been any established tag team. Right.
What do you mean established tag team? They have, three of them?
Well, there you go. This goes back to me saying that they should revitalize the tag division. Why does a company like WWE and more now TNA, since the Hogan-Bischoff regime came in, why is it they don't want tag divisions to go over?
Because it's not the heavyweight. That's why.
Well,
that's right,
but the tag division has traditionally been how new wrestlers get their start, get attention, and allows them WWE to kind of pair them out and see who's going to be a top star, who's going to be a mid-carder before you get them into anything major.
Yeah, I know. It's here. Let's see how you can cut your chops. Yada yada yada. But. What do you think of a good tag team match?
Something that doesn't involve any form of Canadian?
Now I think it's time to just put him on mute. There we go. Omega, what do you think about tag team wrestling as a fan, somebody who watches it?
As a fan, I like it. It adds a different dynamic to a typical wrestling match where you've got two people who are supposedly train together, work together, can play off of each other well, whether it's just having techniques and moves that that coexist with each other very well, or if you're going for Owen Hart, Yokozuna type tag team, big guy, powerhouse technician, or big, small,
you know, trying to find the balance, trying to find a variety.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things you can do with a tag team that you can't do with a singles wrestler. And like I said, it is a great way of sizing up newer talent, and especially in a company like WWE, and even more so in TNA, where they'll sign somebody, use them for a month, and then shelve them for the rest of their contract. Hello, Rhino, you've done so much in the last year. That's where you need a tag team division, to use all of these people that you've got just warming up space in the locker room.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I want to just talk to Mace really quickly. As a professional wrestler, somebody who's been in the ring, how many times have you been involved with a tag team partner?
Pretty much half my career
has been done
in tag teams, because whenever I've been brought into a company, the first thing they've done is team me up with somebody in a tag team match to see how well I can work.
All right. Now, as a worker, if you'll excuse the insider term, how do you feel about being one half of a tag team, whether you're made to do the job or you're given the win? How do you feel about being in a tag team?
Personally, I've never really minded it. I prefer the teamwork aspect, and it also gives you a good chance that if you do blow up during a match, you're able to tag out, regain your composure, and then get back into the ring at a later point. You know, it's not like a match where you're going to be wrestling, you know, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour straight. You might only wrestle half of that in the same amount of time. So it gives you time to think. It gives you time to set up more ideas, more moves, more spots. And it gives you time to sort of run through your full potential. And you're not killing yourself every 3 seconds with a big bump.
Uh-huh. Okay, now going to the other professional wrestler on the program tonight, unmuting Spud. I want to hear from you, Spud, about tag team wrestling. How often have you been involved as a member of a tag team? What do you like better, being a member of a tag team or being on the single circuit, or does that depend on certain situations or circumstances? What?
What do I know about tag team wrestling? Me and DL Havoc were four-time tag team.
You see, there's a reason why I asked you this question.
I enjoy it quite a bit. There's a different psychology and a different atmosphere to tag team wrestling than opposed to singles wrestling. You can actually get the crowd more involved in tag team wrestling than you can in singles, which is nice. The other thing I prefer tag wrestling over singles wrestling is that you can do much bigger spots than on a bigger scale.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in a singles match, you're not going to have dueling superplexes off the top. Or the one time we did a four-man superplex. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That took a shit ton of time to plan out. But I rather enjoy tag team wrestling. I mean, the singles component has its pros and cons too, but for me, I've had more fun working with other people in the ring as far as tag team work than in singles competition.
Well, you know, during my associationship with the Bill Bell promoted version of Stampede Wrestling from 2006 to 2008, anytime a tag team match was one of the main storylines of the night, one of the main matches, one of the main pushes, I did everything I could to make sure that I left work early to get down to the center early enough to watch, you know, and not to be too insider, but you know, just to watch the guys all run through and plan out exactly what they were going to do for the night, and you know, just watching that, you know. You just knew what kind of match Chuck E. Blaze and Dan Danielson were going to deliver against Randy Myers and Chris Steele, just for example. You know what I mean? But there's something missing in today's professional wrestling with the marginalization of the tag team in pro wrestling. And, yeah, you know, Mace, what you were talking about, it's used now to see who's gonna main event and who's going to mid card and how well do you work and how can you do this, that, and the other thing. I just, you know, prefer that they use dark matches for that like they used to instead of using a dark match to start warming up the crowd like they do nowadays. But that's just my point of view. With that, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Those of you who happen to be first-timers, I'd like to say welcome. Thank you for tuning us in tonight. We have a WTR newsletter. We will not fill your email inbox with a ton of spam. We just send out it intermittently, you know, like once every 10, 12 days. Just let you know what's going on, keep you up to date on all of the happenings here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Plus, we've started actually putting in interviews to a little thing that we call Keek's Corner. Get the newsletter to find out exactly what Keek's Corner is. But you can get interviews with all of us who do different shows right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, maybe get inside our heads a little bit more and figure out how we work. That being said, we're taking our first time out of the night. We're going to be back right after this with a lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Books. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Hey everyone, this is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Ross?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this.
Oh my God, shut up. Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
He sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? And you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they gonna
have
an
hour?
I don't want
to.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere?
Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you can tell us about?
No.
Well, it's not so much embarrassing.
but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. I was just going to be at this show, so I took the picture with him. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
TNA Knockout. I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
As he clears his throat just as he turns on the mic. Welcome back, everybody, to WTR Sunday Night. Just kind of sort of rambling here with the guys, Alan Wojak, Spud, Mason, and Omega, about WWE's latest overpriced offering. I don't know. I can't really call it anything other than that, Omega.
Yeah, that's unfortunately what you have to. We keep saying it. Yes, you got your money's worth in the opening match, but only if you like. Okay, you divide this up into six parts. You divide your money up into six. That opening match was worth that portion. Everything else, you were cheated badly.
Well, now, are you serious when you say badly? I don't know if we were badly cheated. Cheated, yes, but not that badly. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
I'm paying the money specifically to see matches that are supposed to be better than what I can see for free. They, in my opinion, have not delivered that tonight.
Okay, so they're not giving you pay-per-view quality matches on a pay-per-view, in other words.
Yeah.
Spud, do you agree with this?
I suppose. I think the WWE fan got about as cheated as the Philly fan did by Ryan Howard at the plate last night.
Okay, ooh. You're a prick towards
you're going to get muted again.
Well, you just wait. Just wait. His next shot is going to be against the New York Yankees, Alan. So if I were you, I wouldn't egg him on.
I'm fine with it. I already... Long over. He gave it to me last night.
I already took my shots last night.
Yeah. Anyway. So, well, you know, there you go. Of course, you know, the team closest to your vicinity, the Cleveland Indians. What did you say, Omega, they can only win championships in comedy movies?
They didn't even win the championship in Major League. Dude,
It took a sequel for them to win the World Series.
They didn't even win the World Series in that. They won a divisional playoff. Dude, I'm not saying that the Cleveland Indians are awesome. What I am saying, though, is that the Cleveland Browns fucking beat up on the Saints today, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, big deal. Talk to me when it counts.
Anyway, it did count, you fucktard.
Okay, something's wrong when we start talking about other sports during a wrestling webcast. If you guys haven't got the hint or haven't figured it out by now, we were underwhelmed by what we got tonight. And I'm kind of sick and tired of talking about bragging rights. Other than, hey, check it out, the elimination match. SmackDown wins for the second year in a row. Mace, wasn't it you who said something about come watch our show, please help us increase the ratings because we look better than Raw?
No, that was an Omega line.
Yeah.
God damn it, Omega coming up with all the lines tonight. What the
hell?
Yeah,
copyrighted, too.
That's got a storm funny around here.
Yeah, well, that's just not normal. That's so weird. You usually show goddamn straight edge, Omega.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Aw.
bit of an inside joke between us. Nobody listening understands what I just did there, but I'm sure you. Anyway, let's say we move on. I've talked about bragging rights enough. How about you guys?
Yeah, I really don't care anymore.
Wouldn't you guys rather talk about Brock Lesnar's UFC fight? I know somebody would.
You mean the one where he tripped over his own feet and then got his ass handed to him?
Yeah, pretty much. I know that there's at least three people have got something relevant to say. Go ahead, Omega. We'll let you continue.
What? Oh, I just wondered if you meant that 4-minute ass whooping that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Alan, did you see the fight?
Yes, Bug had me watch it with him, and my jaw just hit the floor when all of a sudden I'm going like, is he bleeding? And Bug's like, yeah. And I'm like, are they stopping the match? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, holy crap.
Wait a minute. They stopped the match because there's some blood? What did they think? It was a WWE event?
It was his cheekbone looked like it was shattered. His nose looked like it was shattered. His beard looked like it was falling off. Like, good Lord. Ren Amaro was sitting somewhere going, that's my man in there. Stop that. I'm telling you, that's why I typed the note that I did in our private chat. I was surprised that some of the U.S. and I'm not a fan of the UFC at all, but the few fights that they had on at the time that I found Bug online and we started talking, I sat there with him and I was going, this is actually very entertaining stuff. You had, Tito Ortiz get his butt whooped by...
Bad Hamill.
Yeah, that guy was good. I was stunned by that dude, and I don't even watch the stuff. And then you had a pre-tape match that was also entertaining, and a guy from Strike Force. Well, the one between that one and the one from the guy from the Strike Force.
Paulo Thiago versus Diego Sanchez was in a pre-tape that was live. I was telling you, the pre-fight interviews were all pre-tape.
Oh, okay. I thought the match was live.
No, the match was live.
The one after the main event that was live. That was pre-tape.
Yeah, they're not going to pre-tape a match. They'll pre-tape the interviews. Alan, you know all about that, don't you?
Yeah. ASW Chain Reaction, ASWFlorida.com.
There you go. Yeah, you and I are going to have a little chat about all of these awesome guests that you get on OWW Radio all the time and don't ever tell anybody about on the Sunday Night Show, when you should.
Oh, I'll tell them about it. We got Tuesday tonight, absolutely. But
yeah, so we'll get to that.
Like Spug and I said, Spug, it was good to listen to stuff. It's fun to watch this stuff, the UFC stuff, with someone like Spug, who can educate me on certain stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I know, but, should happen.
I didn't know. Some of the moves that they're doing, I'm just going like, that's a cravat. That's a wrestling, that's a regular indie wrestling move. And he's like, nope, that's what it really supposed to do. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, as opposed to pretending. But, Spud, aren't you a Lesnar mark or something like that?
No, I enjoy what he does in the octagon. I think last night was a loss that he needed, to be quite honest with you.
Yep.
He had walked around for months talking about being the biggest, baddest man on the block in UFC, and I think he needed somebody like Cain Velasquez, who was younger, faster, and stronger, to come up and whoop his ass.
Well, don't you think that this is a bit of irony, especially seeing as we're about to direct this to, and yeah, somebody, I'm stealing this from somebody posting it in the chat about a Twitter tweet, with bitter irony, Brock loses to Kane and then watched by Undertaker doing an interview the next night, Undertaker loses to Kane.
Yeah. I think, honestly, that Mexican guy was stunned the crap that he even beat Lesnar. He jumped up and down like crazy.
Yeah, that was the funny part.
Go ahead, tell him. He's not Mexican.
All right? He was born in Salinas, California. Born in Salinas, California. Raised in California. His parents are Mexican, so he is of Mexican descent. But he went to Arizona State University, did his college there, was a two-time All-American. Last time I checked, he does not own a residence in anywhere in Mexico. He does not have a Mexican citizenship. And, again, he's not fucking Mexican. They kept referring to him as the first Mexican champion last night. Isn't Tito Ortiz in the UFC? He's more Mexican than that douchebag.
I was about to say, and you forgot the main part. The dude was fighting in the octagon, not mowing someone's front lawn.
Oh! Now, that was borderline racism. Shame on you.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, he didn't come to the octagon on a lawnmower. He didn't do the weed whacker in the middle of the ring. He didn't offer Brock great advice on trimming his shrubbery after the fight. So
Okay,
just for that, man, you gotta go wear a sombrero, put a poncho on, and sit on your front lawn and have a siesta for 30 seconds.
Dude, I've done that before, and I got drunk off tequila while doing it, so what's your fucking point?
Just flip the stereotype, baby.
So sick. You could ask Alan and Rock, dude. I must have went off for 15 minutes last night.
He was mad. He's sitting there going like, that dude's not Mexican. He's an American. Lift that audience. It felt like watching Rey Mysterio when he wrestled in San Diego, dude. That place was so pro that Velasquez guy.
I get the Mexican heritage. I get the Latino heritage. That's fine. But to sit there and call him the first Mexican champion when you have guys like Tito Ortiz, who is of Mexican descent too, who's already won multiple UFC titles. I just wanted to go strangle Joe Rogan and the other guy. And be
I
like,
want to strangle the two of them just from listening to them. It's like, God. Enough.
Just strangle Joe Rogan. Just saying. The UFC card overall last night, it was a great, great card. They were great fights. I had to laugh at Alan, though. We're sitting here watching it, and he sends me a message. After the Hamill Ortiz fight, he goes, "What the hell's wrong with that guy?" And I
had no idea.
I went, "He's deaf." And he goes, "Huh?" I was like, "He was born deaf. He has a speech impediment from it." And Alan just types back, "Oh."
That tells you how much of Ultimate Fighting and stuff I watch. I had no idea the gentleman was hearing impaired. And
I think my favorite reaction when I'm talking to someone is that awkward, "Oh."
Oh.
That's to say, okay, I can only type two letters now.
Oh, I kind of had the Gilda Radner old character that used to do the news that always got the phrases wrong, like she wants more violins on TV. You know, it's violence.
Oh, never mind.
That's kind of how I felt. It was just like, I'll be creeping back over here now into my corner of weirdness.
No, I mean, WWE and TNA need to take a page out of UFC's book and give us matches and cards that we want to see. Because quite honestly, the only bad match on that card last night, and I watched the pre-tape match after the main event, after Alan logged off. The only bad match on that card last night was the Jake Shields fight. It was the only bad match.
That guy looked so blown up. I felt so bad for that guy in the third round.
Well,
can I just say this? I just want a quick opinion from everybody here. Okay, we've had guys who go away being sick, aka Brock Lesnar, and guys who have gone away being injured, aka Edge. Both men have come back to their respective sports with homeless-looking beards. Who has the better one? Edge or Brock?
Brock. Brock, definitely. Brock's got the edge on Edge.
I just felt like somebody needed to jump in with a friggin' one of the old shaving razors that you see in the movies where you gotta get the leather strap out to sharpen up first and just scrape it off Lesnar's face. He doesn't look like Lesnar anymore. He looks like the bear that replaces Lesnar.
Thank you for that moment of clarity, mate. That was that.
He's Zangief. There we go. He's Zangief from Street Fighter.
There you go. Yeah, more Street Fighter talk this Wednesday night. Oh, wait a second. They're on hiatus until November 10th. We're talking about Otaku Talk Live. Those of you who are in for a little bit of geek speak on a regular basis, have no fear.
Wait,
the show will be back.
Wait, better, hold on.
Better than ever.
Wait, we're on hiatus till November 10th?
Well, yeah.
We'll talk after the show, Spug.
Okay.
It's a simple case of recharging batteries. Don't panic. Anyway, everybody's got to do it once in a blue moon. I did it for a while. I came back, much to most people's chagrin. But getting back to what we were talking about with MMA UFC pay-per-view last night. How many of you guys saw the interview with Undertaker and in the stands after the fight was over? Did you guys catch this?
You want to go?
I just saw it.
We're going for ice cream, too. Let's go.
Okay, do you want to go for ice cream? Yeah, okay. In case you missed it, this is how on the ball we are right here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are not depriving those of you who didn't catch it. Watch the Ustream player, and you will see the video, the interview with Undertaker last night at UFC, what was it, 121? Here it is.
Post fight at UFC 121, where Cain Velasquez just beat Brock Lesnar, and we're here with The Undertaker. Sir, what are your thoughts on what we just witnessed?
I'm a little bit shocked, you know. I thought Brock was going to come out strong like he did. I thought Cain's chances would be better if they went into the fourth or fifth round. I'm a little bit shocked. I thought Brock might have got to him early, but you know what? Cain's a hell of a fighter, and he did a hell of a job.
Do you think, considering the size difference, that he'd be able to manhandle him like that?
No, I didn't. I didn't think so. I think Brock's strength and size would overmatch him. I thought he would have to go into a cardio battle, and I'm actually very surprised.
It's almost like you're at a loss for words there.
You want to do it?
It was Brock Lesnar right there. What did you just say to him?
It's kind of a personal thing. I think maybe he needs to. I think he needs to train a little harder.
Are you guys cool?
Personal.
Who are you rooting for tonight?
You know what? I got background with Brock, but. That just showed you something right there.
Are you a fan of this sport?
Oh, I'm a big-time fan.
You're one of the first guys to actually introduce MMA to pro wrestling, the gloves, the go-go plata.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan. And I like to, the things that I can bring from MMA into what we do. Obviously, there's not many people prepared for it, I'm a big fan.
Perhaps 20 years ago, if this sport was as popular as it is today, you think you would have done it?
Safe bet. Real safe bet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a little late in the game for me to start now, but 20 years ago, I'd be all over it.
Well, thank you so much for the time, sir. Very much appreciate
it.
Well, there it is, everybody. In case you missed the Undertaker interview last night at UFC 121, quick thoughts, Alan.
Immediately everybody hit the rumor mill that I'm sure you're going to reference involving a certain pay-per-view in Atlanta.
Talk about the interview.
You can go in so many directions on what he meant by you want to go or you want to do it or whatever the heck he said. It could have been like, are we going across the street to Disneyland, California Adventure, or are we going jet skiing, and are we having our wives who destroyed wrestling hang out together? I mean, there's so many avenues to go down here. I'm interested to hear what everybody else has to say.
Yeah, speaking about everybody else, let's go to Omega.
McCool's on her knees in the back. You want to go?
Yeah, there's a question for you. Did you notice McCool in the background there, Mace?
Yeah, but nobody really gave a shit, just like the rest of us.
Just like the just like wrestling fans everywhere. Yeah, but how interested in the shit did she look, Spud?
During the pay-per-view, she was actually very interested in watching. In that interview, though, she could have cared less, I'm assuming.
Couldn't be fucking bothered, huh? Okay, now, as Alan alluded to, why don't we just talk about this? What is up? Is there some kind of animosity between Undertaker and Brock Lesnar that generally, as fans and viewers, don't really know about too much? What do you think?
I thought they were cool. Last I had heard, they were, you know, they were friends. They were cool. Brock had invited Taker to the fight against Couture when he won the title, but looking at it now, hearing Undertaker talk, I am probably gonna say that I have to be dead wrong on that.
Huh. Omega, what do you think?
That's what Omega thinks.
Apparently, that's what Omega thinks.
Yeah. Briefly distracted. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, tell her that you're on the internet doing a live webcast and she should tune in, but you'll talk to her afterwards. I mean, geez, you know, you would think that Lita had enough to do.
Oh, no. I was silent for a minute, and you assume Lita is here.
Burn. Well, there's got to be...
Yeah, it does burn. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason why you talk about her so much. And I don't buy the you're picking on her bullshit.
Really?
So,
really?
Okay, back on topic. You going to talk about this or not?
Do you know what Lita has in common with the country of Chile? 60 people in her shaft. Thank you.
Wow.
You can always count on Omega for thinking up new ones. He doesn't even have to freaking work at it anymore. These damn things come to him in his sleep.
Sadly, kind of, yes.
Kind of like all of the things that Lita leaves behind.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, one thing is guaranteed. Lita will never be a guest on the Wild Talk.
Yeah, no kidding.
And thanks a lot for that. I had a call in her agency. I just solidified it.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the show, you're fucked. So tell them, don't listen. Or let us know what shows you're going to tell them to listen to, and we'll edit it. And we'll make it sound like we're actually being nice. But getting back to that clip that we saw, Mace, impressions... You figure that, maybe not so much, huh?
I think, if anything, he was just caught very off guard by being interviewed. Then he was pretty much going, yes, I'm a big fan. Please don't ask me anything else or else Vince might yell at me.
Yeah, who got in trouble last time for just being seen at the pay-per-view, right?
JR.
Yeah. JR got in trouble. I think Austin got in trouble or something, didn't he?
There were a couple. Wasn't CM Punk at the last one?
I don't think Punk was.
It was one of the
supposedly Roddy was there this time around as well.
Well, you can't yell at Roddy. I mean, he guy's a legend. Come on.
Yeah, good point. Plus, he yells back.
Now, Alan, without elaborating, are you buying this supposed tension between the two guys, yes or no?
No.
One word answer. Wow, that's amazing. I will pick it on you, Alan. I'm just kidding. You're a great talker and a fantastic interviewer, and I can't wait for OWW Radio this Tuesday night at 9:00 Eastern. And I can't wait to find out who your guests are going to be for this week's episode. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But
I just want you guys to see a little bit of that interview that you just saw. We got a little snippet of it, a little clip of it that we want to show you, and then we're going to talk about it specifically coming up. Here it is.
I'm actually very surprised.
It's almost like you're at a loss for words there.
You want to do it?
There's Brock Lesnar right there. What did you just say to him?
It's kind of a personal thing. I think maybe he needs to, I think he needs to train a little harder.
Okay, there it is.
I'm actually very surprised.
That clip right there, okay? There it is. Brock Lesnar walks by right in the middle of Taker's interview. Taker just kind of sort of like, you know, ignores the interview completely, stares down Brock as Brock's walking by. He says, "You want to do it?" Brock just kind of looks at him like he's in a daze. What?
He was in a daze. Did you see the ass whooping he got?
You know, thanks for like just jumping in there and ruining what I was going to say. Anyway. What is going on with this? Like you said, I thought they were friends. What's happening? Any thoughts, any ideas, Omega?
I'm not really sure. If that idea really is on the table, then you might as well play it up there when you have the chance.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure if there's any real serious discussion going on, WWE might want that little bit of crossover with the UFC fans. Just to kind of tease and hint at it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Cool. You know, if this is a build-up for WrestleMania, it's going to be a very one-sided promotion thing. So you might as well get it started on another side first.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Bullshit, Omega. This is going to be UFC 150. It's going to be Mark Calloway versus Brock Lesnar in the octagon. Come on. We know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, sure. Taker with his two bad knees, his bad shoulder. I'm not sure he has a joint that works anymore.
Well, then he can always go and, I don't know, talk to one of the Japanese toy companies, get rebuilt out of whatever they're using, because they seem to be... those things don't break, man.
New and improved Mark Calloway. We've replaced his knees, we've replaced his shoulders, and now he makes lights and sound effects.
Yeah, they can make him better, faster, stronger. They've got the technology. Spud, chime in on what we just saw.
I think you guys are reading too much into it. I really don't think... If Brock shows up at WrestleMania, I will be amazed. Because with the bad taste that he left in the mouth of Vince McMahon and the rest of that company after WrestleMania 20. And yes, time does heal all wounds. And we've known that Vince McMahon does like to give second chances to people. But if you're Brock Lesnar, why are you going to leave something as lucrative as MMA and as popular as you are in the sport? And the fact that in the next 3 months, you'll probably have a rematch against Cain Velasquez for that title again. Why would you throw all that in the gutter to go do some run-in spot with The Undertaker at WrestleMania when it's not going to be nearly the payout that a main event for the heavyweight title would be?
Hey,
didn't you say it yourself, though, Spug? When the guy was the champ, he basically was going, you know, I'm the big dog. He almost trashed the fucking company's reputation at one point. I don't think they'd be in a hurry to try and get him back into a title shot anytime soon. Like, probably about this time next year, maybe.
No.
Vince is offering a payoff in the meantime, he might as well take it.
He has a rematch. There'll be a rematch scheduled.
Have they set it up yet? Yes or no? Have they set it up yet?
Dude, it'll probably be announced within the next month or so. You got to remember, the way it's not like wrestling, dude. It's not like, you know, Orton defended his title tonight, and then tomorrow night on Raw, they'll start teasing the main event for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, but they line these fights up somewhere, like
they line the
like
fight
3 months in advance.
Yeah, so you're gonna hear about it within the next month. I wouldn't be surprised if in January or February he had a rematch.
don't know. I think after some of the shit he was saying, the way he was treating other competitors when he was a champ, I don't think they're going to be in a rush to try and give him his rematch.
He, all right, you guys are talking in the backstage chat. He flicked the crowd off after his first fight in the UFC.
He also flicked off UFC's main sponsor.
Well, I'm getting to that. Hold on.
I'm just saying.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
He flicked the crowd off after his first fight in the UFC when the crowd booed the shit out of him after he beat the hell out of some no-name guy. I can't remember who he fought. His second fight in the UFC, he fought Frank Mir and lost and pulled a rookie move and gave up his knee and Mir got the knee bar and put it on him and made him tap out. And in the post-fight interview, he said, "I don't drink Bud Light. I'd rather drink something else because that's a man's beer." And he was, for the most part, from what I can tell, he was putting on a little bit of a heel persona. I don't know how much of it he meant, how much of it he didn't. But that did piss off Bud Light a little bit. You flash forward to last night and you listen to the post-fight interview. That was the classiest and most humble that I've ever heard Brock Lesnar speak, ever, in any interview.
Agreed.
And so, you have this now. I would not be shocked if in January or February he's got a rematch, because that was a damn good fight. I want to see that fight go 5 rounds.
Hell, I reckon if Lesnar didn't trip over his own feet that we would have seen at least a second round out of that easily.
I think if Lesnar, if I don't know what the hell he was thinking, I have no clue. I watched that fight 3 more times today trying to figure out what he did or what he was trying to do. When he went to the side of Cain Velasquez for kind of a hip toss shoot double leg takedown, it was a really weird takedown that he tried to pull. And tripped over his own feet and then tripped over Cain and did that tumble across the octagon. When he turned around and was just met by a fist, it was over.
Yeah, and if you notice, here it is. I remember seeing the stat on the screen afterwards. Brock sitting at like 5-2.
Yeah, he's in his two losses.
Notice they've always been his own mistake. Because Mir,
right,
like you said, he gave up the knee, which is something you never do against Mir. And the second time, he tripped over his own feet.
Right. And he'll come back, he'll train harder, he'll learn from it, and he'll be back.
But in the meantime, if Vince is going to offer him, say, a WrestleMania run-in,
and
why not take the money and do it?
Because I really, you know, Alan put up the thing in there that, oh, they paid $20 million for Mayweather. That's Floyd Money Mayweather. That's not Brock Lesnar. That's not somebody who pissed in your fucking cornflakes when he left the company. Yeah,
but this is the same company that brought back the Ultimate Warrior how many times after he pissed on them at SummerSlam?
Yeah, you're sort of making the point that I'm trying to get through here. At the same time, Vince McMahon is not adverse to making money with somebody if he sees that he can make money with somebody. One example is Bret Hart. Vince was going after Bret for about 5 years before Bret finally made his return to WWE this year.
But at the same time, he isn't above a vendetta. You look at Macho Man. They're barely doing anything with him just now, and even then.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, never mind Macho Man. Look at Eric Bischoff. Go ahead, Omega.
Well, Bischoff, direct enemy, but Macho Man is someone that was, you know, born and bred in the WWF.
Well, don't sleep with Stephanie without permission.
Hey, now. Unsubstantiated rumor there, rumor monger.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm as soon as I saw that clip, I immediately said to a couple friends, "Hey, look, they're starting to tease WrestleMania in Atlanta, Brock versus Taker." And someone's like, "Get out of here!" And I was like, "No, it could be coming." And why not?
Brock will hurt him.
Vince has been getting his butt whooped for months. Long months by UFC. So why not throw some money at Dana White and ride the coattails, man?
What better way to get UFC fans to watch WWE?
But that's the problem, is WWE. That's why I asked Bug last night, because we brought up on Tuesday night the possibility of WWE bringing the Tough Enough show back. And I asked Bug when we were talking last night, because a couple of the competitors from the event were the Ultimate Fighter winners or semifinalists or something like that. And I asked Bug, I said, did you watch WWE Tough Enough? I said, yeah, it wasn't that great. I said, well, how about this Ultimate Fighter show? He said, it's awesome. I said, is it because it's real? It's all legit. And he said, yeah, that was one of the reasons why I liked it. So that's it. I would love to see this, but now you have to take the UFC fans and tell them he's going to have a quote-unquote wrestling match with The Undertaker. Are UFC fans of Lesnar, going to transition to want to spend, what's the WrestleMania pay-per-view, $60?
Yeah.
But then again, I think a UFC fight last night would have been, what, $50 too if you bought it at home?
I paid $33 for the online stream. $35, I think, total with tax and everything. But if I were to buy it off my cable box, it's $55.
Wow.
Now, how many people do you hear bitch and complain about forking out $55 for a UFC pay-per-view as opposed to $45 or $48 for WWE's pay-per-view?
Not many.
All right, here's the thing, though. I wouldn't bitch about forking out that kind of money for a WWE pay-per-view if I got the amount of, if I got the type of card that I got from a UFC pay-per-view. Now, to Alan's point, yes, I did like watching the Ultimate Fighter, but I liked it for the, I liked it for the training aspect, watching what they did, the conditioning and all of that, what it took to go into a fight. I could care less for the frat boy mentality inside the house that they live in. But when it came to watching them in the gym and the things that they went through, I enjoyed that.
Well, here's something else to talk about concerning Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, and WrestleMania. It's considered currently a pipe dream, but the wishes have been expressed in rumor only, people. Okay, in rumor only, I want to stress that Vince would like to have Brock Lesnar show up at WrestleMania to, yes, take on Undertaker. This being said, what are the chances? We know these guys are supposed to be friends. That last night was a work and a possible potential build-up to a WWE WrestleMania match. Omega.
I don't. It might have laid a seed just in case, which is what it seemed like, because if WWE had any involvement whatsoever in what was going on that night, Taker would have been at least slightly in character. There was no trace of the dead man in that interview. I mean, it seemed like he was at a loss for words most of the time.
He reminded me of Biker Taker.
All right.
It was Biker Taker, because that's Mark Calloway. That's what he really is like.
Yeah, go ahead, Spud.
I will say this. I don't think a match between Brock and Taker will work, for the simple fact that I think Brock will hurt him.
Mm-hmm. You think that Brock would shoot?
No, I don't think Brock would shoot at all. I think that Brock is so far removed from wrestling and so far removed from being in the daily grind of going to a wrestling gym and training, and because it's a whole different regime of training.
Yeah,
you know, it's completely different. Brock's body is not built anymore for the rigors of the ring. He's not. Now, you could say, well, he fights in the octagon. Yeah, but that's entirely different.
Have you seen his physique nowadays as compared to his WWE days?
He's not as cut as he was in the WWE.
He's not juice anymore.
Well, he's not juicing, but he's still huge. I mean, he's still all muscle. But if you look at him, he's not built to get slammed, you know, 20 and 30 times in a 30 to 40 minute main event match.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times do you get picked up and slammed down on the plywood and canvas of an octagon? Maybe 6, 7 in a 30 minute fight in the octagon?
Yes, you're lucky.
I'm not saying that the conditioning that is not there for Brock, but he was never a conditioning guy. I mean, he was never a guy who was going to go all out for 25 to 35 minutes. He just wasn't.
Let's not forget the Taker's basically falling apart, and he's being held together by Michelle McCool's spit and a little bit of twine.
Well, let me ask this question. Could you hype, I mean, you saw what they did a couple years ago with Aki Bono and the Big Show where they had a sumo wrestling match. Could you hypothetically be interested in Brock versus Taker in an MMA style match at WrestleMania in Atlanta?
Well, here's the thing. Isn't Taker the WWE star who actually introduced versions and modifications and holds from UFC, Spud? MMA anyway?
No.
Is he not among one of them?
He may have been one of them, but I will say the first two were Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, well, there is that element, but okay. Looking at WWE revisionist history.
If you want to look at revisionist history, then yeah, you can say The Undertaker. But if you want to look at actual history, remember, you had the Lion's Den match between Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock,
yeah,
which was nothing more than a glorified octagon. I mean,
a fight in a dungeon that caused the need for a lot of repairs to the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that.
I mean, Undertaker used he's used many variations, the triangle choke, you know, things like that. But I can't see them doing an MMA style match at WrestleMania, because again, I think Taker would get hurt.
Uh huh.
Seriously hurt.
Just so you can't do a work environment in an MMA match? Is it just because it's a different mentality of going into an octagon as opposed to the controlled environment of World Wrestling Entertainment or any indie thing?
No, I think it's... And I should wash my mouth out with soap for saying this.
Uh-oh.
I think it's the fact that Taker is just getting too old and too beat up.
Did that really hurt for you to say?
I mean, he is one of my favorites, but you look at it, the guy's been in the ring for 25-plus years.
About that, yeah.
His time between injury has gotten longer and longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. And I'm afraid that if he goes to fight against Brock at Mania, the one thing that's going to happen is he's going to get hurt and he's going to be done and not get to go out on his own terms.
Take a look at reports right now saying that Taker has a shoulder injury that might require surgery, therefore necessitating the loss at tonight's pay-per-view bragging rights. Alan?
Well, I asked Bob this when we were watching the show last night. I think it was due to the reaction that Lesnar got when he walked into the Arrowhead Pond Honda Center, whatever the correct name is. And I said, wow, he's getting, I used a wrestling term, I said, wow, he's getting a lot of heel heat. And I said, you know, I asked the ref the question that they didn't mention it at all on the air. What is the UFC fan or the UFC's reaction to a Brock Lesnar coming from quote-unquote fake stuff? And Buggin said, well, they kind of mention it, they kind of don't. I said, well, you got to remember, this is a guy who, if you looked at one of the WWE WrestleMania 20's triple box, triple DVD set, they did a behind the scenes of WrestleMania 19 called The Mania of WrestleMania, and Ric Flair actually said, "I'm amazed watching Lesnar. The dude doesn't know his own strength." And then you go back to that pay-per-view where he nearly killed himself doing the shooting star press to Kurt Angle. So I was very surprised to see it. I would like to see what could happen, but from what I've heard, Dana White doesn't care for WWE or Vince McMahon or anything at all. So it would kind of be like Eric Bischoff in his prime working with WWE here. I don't know how Omega or Mace or Bug feel about that one, but it just, from what I've read in interviews I've seen with this gentleman, Dana White, he's as arrogant and braggadocious as a McMahon. So can these two personalities come together to do a mega thing at WrestleMania in Atlanta? Because it's going to be, Georgia Dome's a huge ass building, and maybe this may fill it a little bit.
I think no matter what the ego is, the almighty dollar is everything. If both of them are seeing dollar signs from this idea, they'll work it out.
Now,
if there's anything I know about Vince, is that he loves his money.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, Alan pointed out, you know, the public perception of Dana White and his publicly perceived feelings towards Vince and the WWE, but Mace, you know, we've seen this, and then we've heard the other half of the story, or the real story, or whatever. How much stock do you put into the public perception of Dana White basically looking down his nose at WWE?
No idea, really, because I'm not Dana White.
Yeah.
You know, I can't really speculate on one person's thoughts. If Dana White thought there was any more stock in professional wrestlers coming into MMA, we would have seen Bobby Lashley sign to the UFC. We would have seen some way that Batista seems to be looking into getting into MMA. But, you know, besides Brock Lesnar, who started out with some group over in Japan, I think it was. It was one of his first fights, and that's where he got picked up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think if Brock didn't get in somewhere else first, we wouldn't have seen him in the UFC.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I'm not Dana White. I can't really say anything for the guy's frame of mind when it comes to professional wrestlers.
So, really, really quickly before we move on, Omega, Lesnar at WrestleMania, ratings, yes or no?
No.
Okay, no. Mace?
No.
Spud, ratings, yes or no?
No.
Okay, Alan, increased buy rate, no real change, what?
I think there'll be some form of an increase. I don't know how much. Are you trying to pin me to a figure, like a 10,000, 20,000 extra buys? And
no,
that's it. It all depends how much. It all depends if Dana White, UFC get behind it and promote the crap out of it, then it could blow the roof off of a pay-per-view thing. You gotta remember, someone like Dana White, he was following Vince's booking coattails. Everybody followed the WWE pay-per-view model and said, look how awesome we can do here. So I hope it happens. I love seeing people make money, preferably us too, hint, hint, well, listeners.
Yeah, there you go. There it is, everybody. It's nowhere near confirmed, nor is it at the moment denied. But we can consider it a rumor and at best a pipe dream. On the other extreme, Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania this year, this next WrestleMania, emanating from Hotlanta, Georgia. There it is. Speaking about ratings, what was it? 10 days ago, Impact did an overall 1.4 rating. The show after their BFG pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
And Eric Bischoff enjoyed pointing out the fact that they had one of the highest ratings this year on his Facebook page. But you notice, here comes the spin factor. He made no mention of how quickly those numbers dropped as the show progressed. You gotta remember that they break it down into eight quarters because you got 2 hours, so you've got two sets of four to take a look at. Every 15 minutes saw a decrease in viewership, Spud. Are you surprised?
No. Dude, when you tune in and the first 45 minutes of your program is 15 guys between the entrance ramp and the ring standing there jawing at one another, of course it's going to drop.
Uh-huh. Mace, you watch TNA more than most people who are on this conference call, or at least you pay more attention to it than I do. What do you think about it?
The decline in the ratings? Well, it just goes to show that the supposed 15 grand they spent on JWoww wasn't worth jack and shit. I'm actually trying to look up the more recent ratings, I believe, of this last week's
Take
Impact
a look,
Reaction,
yeah.
Because they took some sort of massive hit this week.
Well, take a look at the production chat, and you'll get this past week's ratings, which is what I'm getting to in just a second. But here it is. Omega, this past Thursday night, their rating was 1.15. How much of a reflection is that to the previous week's show? Do you say?
Well, let's face it. The only reason people tuned in is because they heard that TNA put the world title on Jeff Hardy. People wanted to go see it. They wanted to see the train wreck that was they. And as soon as they saw, oh, wait, it's a rehash of the NWO to a fucking T, right down to way too much exposure in a single episode, hello, Nexus tonight, people tuned out. They were sick of it. You know, within 2 hours, people were done with this angle. And this week's rating showed that perfectly. No one wanted to tune back in for this shit again.
There you go. Now, Alan, when I first started doing these online live internet webcasts with the wrestling website that I helped start and was very instrumental in doing a regular weekly live audio webcast, I had to deal with, at the time, a 17-year-old snot-nose. I know absolutely fucking everything there is to me, you know, there is to know, so, like, don't dispute me type kid, which is basically anybody under the age of 20, for the most part. Those of you under 20 listening, no offense intended, but you get the idea. I mean, when I was 18, I knew everything. Now that I'm older, I know better. Without naming names or anything else like that, the biggest argument he and I had every week over WWE's ratings was the fact that this week's ratings sucked ass simply because of last week's show. And the overrun, but the fact that people who didn't get it were tuning in to watch the show that came on right after WWE.
Well, you get stuck with the creature of habit issue here no matter what. And I said, unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond my control, I haven't watched Impact from this previous week. But Spug and I, and then Phil Strum and Kevin Scott of the Under the Ring blog on Tuesday night, we were pretty much stunned by what had gone on. Because I think, and Spug can correct me, I think the opening segment, I mean, it was just, what, 50-some-odd minutes of...
55 minutes.
Yeah, one of my friends, and I'll reference him again, because we're referencing him Tuesday night, his name is Sean. If you're on TNA boards at any point during your lifetime and you saw the name Lars, L-A-R-R-S, or you went to Orlando, Sean was always there. Sean always has had the crowd folks. Sean had somebody turn to him during all of this event and actually said to him, welcome to Total Non-Action Wrestling. And we brought up the other fact of the JWoww, whatever the heck Jim Farley, I think her real name is, that the dumbest thing this company did, I don't know if you guys talked about this past Tuesday and Sunday, and I apologize if you have, but the one thing that annoyed the crap out of me was you brought this girl out during the 10 o'clock hour when anyone that would have tuned in to watch it isn't watching because you now are on live opposite her show and giving Becky Bayless a grade one concussion, the rumor around the campfire was. So,
Before you ramble on, Ellen.
I'm not rambling. I was wrapping it up to pass it off.
Just quickly, the following week, so meaning last week, I remember there was a segment with Cookie and Robbie E saying that they got more viewers than Jersey Shore.
Oh, of course they're going to say that.
Anyway,
but it's one of those that the kids are going to do what they're dealt with. They're going to, I feel for Rob Strauss and Rebecca Treston, who are playing these respective characters, because they did. They busted their ass for years to get in this company, and then they get handed this gimmick. It's like Terry Taylor walking in the WWF and going, all right, I wrestled for Mid-South. I've been everywhere. What do you got for me? We're going to make it the Red Rooster, dude. It all depends how you work it.
Omega, you had a point to bring up?
Yeah, and this one I kind of direct to you, because I honestly want to know this. Who am I supposed to root for in TNA? I honestly want to know this, because we start this Immortal group, and you turn Hogan, Hardy, and Jarrett heel automatically. RVD is a paranoid nut job now that's attacking his own friends. Anderson is supposed to be an asshole even when he's supposed to be a face. Who the fuck is in TNA now that I'm supposed to care about when everyone... Everyone on the top card is either an asshole of a face or an asshole of a heel.
I believe the only guy left that is a clear face at the sort of top card level is Kurt Angle when he hasn't been injured.
Yeah, and even they're running an angle where he may or may not be around much longer. It's impossible to tell.
I'm retired. Yeah. No, wait, I'm not. No, wait, I am. But I have a very nice 25-year-old girlfriend, and it was great to bring their personal lives into the real deal.
I have my fingers crossed behind my back.
Of course. I don't know, Mace. I mean, that's a tough one to ask, because we watch it regularly, and Joe's kind of like the baby face right now because of Jarrett screwing him and his thing, but everyone that referenced it earlier, and Mace can agree to this one, you know, this Immortal group has more members than the NWO, I think, ever had in its entire existence. I keep turning around to see Tanae and Taz sitting there going, we're immortal too, dude! Come on! We want to be immortal!
initially, yes. For the start of the group, they have definitely pulled up a big one. But if there's anything that TNA need to take from this thing, it's they went from the first Impact after Bound for Glory, 1.9 million viewers. This past week, they lost 400,000 viewers, supposedly. Reaction lost about 140,000 viewers. If they're losing something along those lines, like if we come back next week and that number's down to like 1.2 million viewers, they need to turn this around quickly. They need to end this storyline and come up with something new on the fly, because at this rate, they're just going to keep watching those ratings sink further and further into the toilet. And it's sad to see, because we all attested to this when the last few months when they've done pay-per-views. They provide us with solid wrestling. They were providing us with solid storylines. You know, there wasn't much fault we could put on TNA product. But since Bound for Glory, they've done nothing that has made us want to sit there and watch, or anything that makes us want to stand up and go, you know, you should watch TNA.
You know, the original NWO was fantastic. This new version, not so much.
All I can say is, and I actually did find, as usual, one good thing about Impact, and that was Mickey James' shorts.
Okay, I'll definitely look for that.
The Daisy Duke style tight denim.
You were just into the bubble butt, don't lie. You like the
damn right I was. I'm not gonna lie about shit, mate. She looks good.
Here's the thing about Mace. You don't really know it, so it comes as a surprise when he hits you with it. But he's a closet pervert. He's not like Spud.
Excuse me, I'm the guy who came up with the roundtable discussion of who has the best tits in wrestling.
Yeah, just now everybody.
Can we make
that
a long, like a month long feature of some kind?
All right, moving on. Yeah, moving on. This Thursday's Impact ratings will go a long way towards determining whether or not the general public thinks that TNA in general and Eric Bischoff specifically are full of shit, as far as them thinking that what they're doing is a smart thing to do. But
it's scary to think that Bischoff's saying that this set up 6 months worth of storyline.
Oh, that's bullshit. They came up with this like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were able to tie it into January the 4th and say, oh, yeah, we've been working on this since we came in here. Bullshit, Bish. That's what we're going to call you from now on, especially when you show up on Moron Show, Eminem. I'm just going to call you Bullshit, Bish.
That means you got to step into the hot seat.
Oy. And that's all the plugging we're going to do for them. Anyway, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. On the other side of this, WTR's Roundtable and Quick Hits. We're going to be talking a little Hall of Fame stuff. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Websites involving startup pro wrestling discussion webcasts and so-called insiders who demand money for the truth have in the past and continue to malign WrestleTalk Radio and the Wild Talk Radio Network. This has, quite frankly, put the spotlight on WTR and has resulted in some negative and inaccurate attacks on our website. So, we're reaching out to you, the WTR Galaxy, our fans, to provide the real facts about WTR. And we ask you to join us in responding to these malicious attacks against WTR, and you, our listeners, by those who have never been closer to the business than perhaps a ringside seat or the ordering of a pay-per-view. We have initiated a campaign called Stand Up for WTR. We'll be talking regularly how WTR has led the way and been the forerunner for all the ways internet webcasting is enjoyed in its current form today, to set the record straight. We ask you to utilize YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, as well as the WTR newsletter to help correct biased and inaccurate reports by the dopey ones who actually steal the ideas of WTR and pass it off as their own, and to get the message out and show your support for WTR by sending into admin@wildtalkradio.com photos and videos of you and your friends with a WTR sign written on anything, even your girlfriend's body. We encourage you to become a fan of WTR on Facebook and Twitter and share your stories, no matter how sick and disgusting. Let's show the world the power of Wild Talk Radio. Let's stand up for WTR. Thank you.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter
That's right. Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
This is former ECW WWE superstar Kevin Thorne, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
WTR Tonight Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are about to hit the WTR Roundtable. Before we do, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Oh, whoever it was hung up.
Coward.
They thought we were Domino's calling, dude. We don't Maybe it was that girl again that wants like that. She's Melina, or she's Kelly Kelly, or
yeah, it was Melina Kelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Melina Kelly. Gold. Yeah, we got to play those clips sometime if we remember to do that.
Oh dear Lord, that was priceless.
That was funny. Anyway, here it is, tonight's WTR roundtable, guys. Everybody, you in the chat room, participate if you feel like it. Names that remain in discussion for next year's 2011 WWE Hall of Fame in Atlanta during WrestleMania 27 weekend include Ron Simmons, Lex Luger, and Bill Goldberg. This is according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Now, there was also interest in inducting the Four Horsemen as a group, but that would only depend on Ric Flair's availability and if he still isn't signed with TNA by the time WrestleMania 27 rolls around. Now, the same discussion was made about Sting, but again, that will depend on his contractual status with TNA. This week's question: who from the WCW Atlanta days do you think deserves to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? Spud?
Sting, most definitely. Ric Flair is already in there.
Disco Inferno.
Wow. Alex Wright.
Freak out.
Eddie's already in there.
George South, brother. George South. Like,
that's freak out. Old Shockmaster.
Bill Watts is another one. But he's already in.
I'm not even saying that, Rock. Get it.
What about you? How about RoboCop?
RoboCop. Mega. Now, okay, seriously. Kudos to Spud for actually being serious about it while we're making jokes, but Omega, seriously. WCW Atlanta days. Who goes into WWE Hall of Fame this year?
Oh my God. It's really hard to decide because so many of them are under TNA employment.
Judy Bagwell.
Wow.
No? Okay. Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell.
Out of all these random names you're throwing out there, you're not going Dean Malenko?
Yeah, but he's like legit. Come on.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, Scott Norton.
Okay. Well, what about? Okay, you said no to Judy Bagwell. You said no to Buff Bagwell. What about Buff Bagwell's hats? Come on. Those deserve recognition.
The celebrity.
I like his machine gun pyro. That was kind of neat.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to induct the machine gun pyro.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, just the pyro guy.
Should we try to be legit about this or just have our fun with it, guys? Omega, come on.
I'm having fun with this.
You're having too much fun.
We can put the Yeti in.
I like to see that. A guy walking up covered in toilet paper.
Oh, shit.
Alan.
Solution. I was definitely... Go to Rosa Parker.
Oh, Lord.
Kevin Sullivan. Respect the Book of Man.
Oh, who is
Alan
this J.R.?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Wow, that was at Ferrara.
Alan, jump in. Let him steal your thunder, man.
Okay, if we're going to do a serious one, definitely Sting, Steamboard, and the guy was there longer than anyone else. If you could do the Horsemen, God bless you for getting them all. But then you get into the issue of, okay, do you bring Ole? Is it Barry Windham Horsemen, Luger Horsemen? Is it Tully sniffing his coke before he comes back? Horseman.
Mongo.
I would put, I don't know if he's in,
but I would put
the late Gary Hart in, definitely. The guy was amazing for his world-class days and also his managing of Great Muta in the early 90s. I would put any version of the Midnight Express in. I would grab the Rock and Roll Express as quick as hell because of the rumors that Ricky Morton is going to sign to work as a road agent for TNA. Ron Simmons, sure, why not? First black WCW heavyweight champion. Tommy Young, referee, if you're going to go that way. But this, again, this is WWE, guys. They like to create their own little history, so they'll probably put in whoever they can afford. Maybe the Crocketts themselves as a family. That would be a great tribute to get David and Jackie, who did production stuff for them, and get Jim Jr. there, recognized Big Jim Sr., but like I said, this is WWE.
I recommend, I nominate the taser that ended Goldberg's winning streak.
It's already somewhere in the WWE Hall of Fame on display.
People forget Disco Inferno also had a hand in costing Goldberg the title.
Yeah,
what did
everybody
he
ran in. He ran in on that match, brother.
He ran in on that match and got his ass kicked immediately because I wouldn't be in the NWO so bad.
Yeah, and if Bill Goldberg's name is mentioned at all in this, then somebody needs to get their head hit with a frying pan because the guy was, if you're going to put him in the Hall of Fame for the greatest marketed product of a guy who I think my 2-year-old has more wrestling ability than, then yes, Bill Goldberg belongs there. While you're at it, put David Arquette in your frickin' Hall of Fame, too.
Oh, oh there goes my next suggestion.
Sorry.
I have one.
What?
Ooh. I'm the greatest! Hell yeah! But that would have worked for you.
I know the cat. Yeah, just throw the cat's shoes in. That's all that we need.
That was... Put Hudson in.
How about this, guys? The ultimate show of gracious victory. I whipped your ass and I bought your company, so I'll induct you, Ted Turner.
No.
If you're gonna do that, you induct Tony Schiavone for opening his big yap that night on Monday Night Nitro.
If he was told by Bischoff to do it, dude. I asked Scott Hudson about that myself, and he was told that it was Bischoff backstage that did it, and Schiavone hated every second of saying it.
Well, yeah, it was all Bischoff doing it, man. Come on. It was Bischoff's idea, and Bischoff pushing it all the time to give away the taped episode of Raw, and it backfired.
If you want to get other people that are out there, this is a great time to bring Booker T back into the fold. Induct Harlem Heat if you're going to do a tag team.
Larry
Zbyszko, 5-time world champion. Harlem Heat themselves won, what, like 9 world tag title belts in the company?
Dude, Larry, all right, if we're being serious, if we're finally going to be serious, the Road Warriors. If you're going to induct tag
team.
They're from every company. That's a no-brainer. But the question is, what's Joe Laurinaitis' current feel? Obviously, you know, Johnny's there, but, you know, what's Joe Laurinaitis' current feel on WWE? He seems to be more focused on his son's career than anything else.
If the Road Warriors go in, they go in as WWE tag champs, not WCW tag champs.
It doesn't matter. The bulk of their career was spent in the NWA.
been everywhere. They were in Japan.
If you're going to induct anybody, you're going to induct tag teams, and you talk about the Road Warriors. You talk about who the fuck feuded with Kevin Sullivan over one woman?
What, Benoit?
No. They had the triple cage match way back in the day with the beautiful Bobby Eaton.
You mean the Thunderdome deal?
No, not
the Tower of Doom thing. That was done like one of the bashes.
No, it was the Tower of Doom, I want to say, and
Rick
it was...
Steiner had a thing for woman early. That's how they introduced
no,
her.
No, it wasn't woman. It wasn't woman. She was a blonde girl, and I can't remember her name. Rick Flay... No, if you watch the Horseman DVD,
it was Precious. It was Jimmy
Precious.
Garvin's wife.
The Garvin. You put the Garvins in, man.
Well, what the hell? Why not Kevin Nash?
That's actually not a bad idea, to be quite honest with you.
Well, he is just—he's about done with TNA anyway.
He is. He's just about done with TNA. And
you can put in the Outsiders if you decide to hold an open bar.
No. You get to hold an open bar and Scott would just show up, even if he's not inducted.
Hey, yo, just give
Waltman
me some...
Waltman and Nash would be like, nah, we can't. Just put the drinks over there, we're fine. Really, we can't.
Well, Hall and Nash, maybe not, or Hall and Waltman, maybe not.
It's all about who's going to want to show up, and what's the, obviously they're paid some sort of thing. What's the WWE Classics deal? It's like an extra one, like $15,000, $20,000. Pay my appearance fee, I'll show the hell up. They did it. Look what the JWoww girl did. She showed up for $15,000. Any of these veterans, I'm sure, would gladly show up for that and part of the proceeds of the WrestleMania DVD that's on it.
See, that's the thing with the whole money deal. These guys, to be honest, they don't seem to make anything much with, like, the Hall of Fame or even a WrestleMania payday or something. I was watching the You Shoot with Sandman the other day. He said the biggest payday he ever got from the WWE was $75,000 for the video game rights.
I'll take $75,000, thanks.
Yeah, same here. But if you're going to induct, Arn's in there. The Andersons are in there as a tag team, aren't they?
Don't think so.
Well, then you definitely have to go to the Andersons.
Yeah, I just looked up Ollie. And
Dean Malenko? I'd like to induct Medusa.
Yeah, I think you'd
induct
like
the trash can.
I'd like to do more than the Duck Medusa back in the day.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. Yeah, I'm sure you'd like to do more than just in Duck Medusa.
I was literally sitting there with my WCW DVDs, looking through them, going, okay, who the hell can you put in as a legit WCW superstar? And pretty much, I came up with Harlem Heat, and that was pretty much it.
Okay, well, there it is, our little roundtable discussion. Who's going to be going into the 2011 WWE Hall of Fame from WCW? There are a couple of legitimate candidates and one or two dozen not so legitimate ones. There we go. I think, everybody, it's time for the last little bit of the night that we do all the time. We call this little thing Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, there's the intro and quick hits. Tonight, Omega will be playing the part of Omega. Spud will be playing the part of Spud. Mace will be playing the part of Mace. And Alan will be playing the part of the WTR Redneck.
So start drinking.
So, Alan, start drinking straight out of the bottle. No shot glasses allowed. Omega, starting off with you. Would you want to see Kevin Nash return to WWE being revealed as the Mystery Raw GM?
That's actually kind of an interesting little take. I would love to explain how he was working for the WWE while still appearing on TNA. I mean, it's
don't
a little
anybody.
Twist on it. But, you know
conflict
what? Kevin Nash in purely an entertainment role, like, keep him out of the ring at this point because he's prone to injuring anything on his body. Kevin Nash as an entertainer has always worked well for me. I wouldn't mind seeing him back as the Raw GM.
Okay. So, yeah, sure, what the hell, why the fuck not? Spud, should John Cena versus Wade Barrett be your WrestleMania main event?
No. No. John Cena, I don't understand how you build it up. You would have to have, if you're going to do that, you would already have had to have Nexus split off and have them feuding. You would have already had to have Cena join Nexus by, you know, before 2 weeks ago. No. It's going to be Cena Orton or something like that.
Okay. Mace, if you could have your own WrestleMania match against someone currently in the WWE, who would you like to score off against and how come?
Fuck, that's simple. Give me the Undertaker. I'll do the job. Man, dude, I can tell you now, I don't really care if it was a good match, a crap match, or whatever. It would be an honor to take the Tombstone Piledriver from the Undertaker at WrestleMania. It would be an honor.
I was just going to say, you just want the payday and the glory.
Hey, I just want to be able to say, hey, I jobbed to the Undertaker at WrestleMania.
There's your T-shirt right there. I jobbed the Undertaker at WrestleMania.
No. It's just him. I can imagine him walking around a shirt that just says, I'm number 19.
That'd be the shirt I wear out to the ring.
I'm number 19. There you go.
Nice,
I just kind
serving
of...
number 19.
Alan, Jeff Hardy is claiming to be the Antichrist of wrestling, but who really is the Antichrist of wrestling?
All of us are talking about this crap.
I should punch you in the face.
We're all evil. He's evil. Hardy's evil for stealing Chris Angel's gimmick. Give me a break.
There you go. So who's the real Antichrist of wrestling, in your opinion?
All the writers that come from Hollywood that think, I can do this.
Really? I'm surprised you didn't...
Easy.
Come on, Alan. It's an easy name. It starts with R and ends in Avon. It's Raven, goddammit.
Damn. Well, guys,
he's the guy who nailed Sandman to the cross for our sins.
Think of what the Antichrist really is, okay? I'm surprised you're not saying Russo.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's committed far more atrocities in wrestling than anyone
else. But then he repented and he became a renewed Christian, and that supposedly absolved all of his sins. And
according to Sermon, the devil can quote scripture to serve his own purpose, so I don't buy that. I'm just
well,
saying.
Shit, I just got told.
Omega, your turn. What would you like to... Okay, what? Huh? Here's your question. What would your life be like if Transformers were never invented?
Good Lord, I'd have to be a G.I. Joe fan.
Real American hero.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's actually tough. It's more than just like my hobby. It's something that me and my dad share. Like I got into it because he liked them when they were first coming out. Yeah, and it's just always been a mutual interest for the two of us.
So that just basically dispels the myth that people think that Transformers are merely your wet dream.
Well, they are, but there's other reasons behind it.
Oh, don't lie. We all know. Yeah, come on. Admit the truth. We all know it's...
Omega loves his Transformers with the articulating waist. What can we say?
Come on. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but his real wet dream is Lita.
Come on,
no,
think about it.
That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare.
No. He's right. Because if I dream of her, I wake up in cold sweat.
Yeah, Lita is Omega's real wet dream. He gets off on jokes he comes up concerning her.
Okay.
Moving on. That's enough. Like, you just
okay, that's the 200th way I have of calling her a whore.
Oi. Okay, Spug, do you think you could last 5 minutes in the ring with Brock Lesnar?
Yes, because all I'd have to do is let him try to give me a hip toss and he'd trip over his own feet.
Ooh. Okay, I was going to actually clarify the question and give you a two-parter. Do you think you could last 5 minutes in the ring with Brock Lesnar today or last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
I think we could all last 5 minutes in the ring with Brock Lesnar today. I'm just saying.
I doubt the guy can tell which foot is his left one right now.
Well, okay, all of us except Omega, but, you know.
Hey.
All you'd have to do is throw a transformer on the floor so he trips on it. Mace.
Take the foot.
There you go. Mace, what is your favorite all-time Halloween-themed match, even though you don't have Halloween in Australia?
Yeah, I was about to say, but you saved it by going match, because one of my favorite WCW DVDs to watch whenever I get bored shitless is Halloween Havoc 91, which is otherwise known as the Chambers of Horrors match.
How did I know you were going to say that one?
Because that's the most amusing, because you get Abdullah the Butcher with the light going around, and he's trying to convulse in a chair like an idiot. And Mick Foley having to throw the switch about 8 times before the effects kick in. It was a comedy of errors. I loved that damn thing.
Sorry, I just had to gulp back my nice, tasty, refreshing carbonated beverage. We're not going to mention what it is.
Plus, it's got, on the same DVD, it's got Steve Austin with hair.
Oh, my God.
Don't go wrong.
One of the Hollywood Blondes. There you are. Yahoo! All right, Alan, you're next. You're last.
Oh, great.
Yeah, if you were told that for Halloween you had to dress up like a pro wrestler, which pro wrestler would you dress up as?
Bruiser Brody, so I could swing a rope around and knock everybody out of my frickin' way.
Bruiser Bloody Brody. There you go.
Oh, come on. You're not going to go Iron Dick.
The Iron Dick?
Gotta go Bruiser Brody with the big fuzzy boots and the beard and the rope swinging it around over my head, yelling at Fritz Von Erich, where's my damn payday?
So, Mace, I guess someone doesn't want to fuck anybody's ass and make them humble.
Wow.
Did he go there? Yeah, I think he did.
I definitely the trick part of trick or treat.
Yeah, that's the trick part of trick or treat. Exactly right, Omega. Well, there it is, another episode of WTR Tonight. Let's Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We actually stumbled through it. My God. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Bragging Rights pay-per-view. In case you missed it, don't waste your money on the replay. Not going to tell you to find an illegal torrent or anything like that. But this Tuesday night, OWW Radio, Alan, now is the time to promote who you've got on as a guest.
Actually, got three of them.
Tell us who they
are. Former TNA and WWE referee Mike Posey, who currently wrestles in the southeastern area, works for NWA Main Event, and also works for Rampage Pro Wrestling. Sal Renaro, who used to be in the YRR gimmick, is the current commissioner, I believe, of the Rampage Pro Wrestling Group. And Jimmy Rave will be making a second appearance on our show. So hopefully you'll see you at 9 o'clock Tuesday.
There you go. Everybody make sure you come back for OWW Radio. And you know what? As a treat this week, I'm going to pick random nights. I'm not going to say anything beforehand. I will post it on the news board so you know when to come and check it out. I'm going to be playing a couple of matches here and there from a Stampede Wrestling DVD that I have, so you can get to watch a couple of really good matches. How does that sound?
Yay, sounds absolutely great, Tim.
thanks for playing along.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, there
go
you go.
Go Stampede.
Like, yeah, play it up, you dumbasses. Anyway, so there it is. Thursday night, I guess we won't have anything goes.
Not this week.
It's the off week. Friday, don't expect a live running the ropes because of Rebel Ford's wrestling. You expect a podcast, though, because I've been guaranteed it's going to eventually show the hell up. The latest podcast should be ready tomorrow while the next episode is currently being worked on, and I'm just going by what I hear as rumor. You know, we'll find out. Saturday night, the TD Top 20 with your host, the Trey Dog, the TD Top 20 Country Countdown returns. Unfortunately, the Trey Dog got called into work last second, but he has promised me he will be on next Saturday, and of course, midnight-ish, CB Radio, right here on the Wild Dog Radio Network. It's the continuation of Spooktober. See? Check it out. Rock, I remembered.
Yeah, you did, and we actually have a format, sort of, kind of.
There's kind of a format. There's been a whole theme going on. Last night you guys did some trivia shit, which it was kind of fun. And don't forget, everybody, Bashing the Books is exclusive to the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's in the podcast section. One Gus gets because, well, somebody wasn't able to get his comic books in time to make a podcast, but he promises to make up for that. Don't you, Mitch?
Yeah, hopefully I will try and have something planned out by the end of the week for the show. And, yeah, I still haven't been to pick up my comics because, well, instead of going to get them yesterday like I thought I was going to, I end up dealing poker on a boat.
I was about to say, you're too busy playing Texas Hold'em on the river raft. Anyway,
no,
there it is.
I was dealing with making money.
Yeah, well, as long as you're making money, that's the important thing. There it is, everybody. Another edition of WTR, Sunday right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And there is one last thing I want to say. This is on a bit of a more serious note. I know there are a lot of you listening tonight that normally listen to SNS, Sunday Night Showdown, during the pay-per-views. They didn't have a show tonight. There's a bit of a family emergency going on, and I just want to say all our thoughts are going out to JJ and his wife. I'm not going to divulge what's going on. It's not my place to, but I just hope that the person that I'm referring to gets better really quick, and our thoughts are with you. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here for another episode of Wrestle Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.